want you to hear Matthew's account of the resurrection. In chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, Matthew writes, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said, 'I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." I'll admit to you that I did not sleep that well last night. Perhaps you can relate. I went to bed in anticipation and maybe just a touch of anxiety about the first time we would worship in our newly renovated sanctuary. As you can imagine, I don't know if it's wise or not to have your first worship service in a new space on one of the Sundays where you will have the most people all year. And so I lay at home and I went to bed kind of thinking about all the what might happen. You know, I could just go into the hallway or something crazy happening in the sanctuary and just thinking, oh goodness, what were we thinking? Right? And on top of that, we had a 6:30 sunrise service on the front lawn. And so I was giving a short sermon at that, and I thought, you know, how terrible would it be if I oversleep and I miss the sunrise service and everybody's looking for me to show up? And maybe you can relate to that. And you go to bed and you lay down, but you don't really sleep that much. And your mind is churning and your heart is churning and you're thinking about something that's coming the next day and you're kind of anxious and worried about it. Another example for me is if I'm getting on a flight the next day, especially if it's an early morning flight, like I pretty much don't sleep. I should probably just go straight to the airport that night and be ready because I'm thinking I'm probably not going to make my flight tomorrow if I want to oversleep. And there's some things that are good and excited. Maybe it's your first day, a new job, and whatever the day brings, the next day you're just so excited you can't wait for it to get there, and so you have a hard time calming yourself down. But the nights that I have a hard time sleeping that I dislike the most are either those nights when something happened that day that was so hard or tragic, one of those things that you walk through that you hope you never have to walk through, and you experience it and you lay down and bound with processing and grief and working through what happened, and you lay there and you try to go to sleep and you have a hard time doing it. Or maybe the next day there's something coming for you. It's a surgery. It's a doctor's appointment. It's something that next day that you would rather not experience. So you lay there and you turn and you toss. So think about the disciples on the eve before. I think they were in the midst of sleepless nights. I think for us to think about the significance of what happened when Jesus died on Good Friday, it's sometimes hard for us to read ourselves back into the story and think about how the disciples must have felt that day. The last time I was at church was Good Friday, and we were thinking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And if the crucifixion was this adamant declaration that Jesus was not the king, it was the way that the Romans would viciously punish people who claimed to be something that they were not. And so Jesus, in a manner of speaking, had led an uprising, and the Romans, in response to the request of the Jews who were opponents of him, had him crucified. And as everybody at the crucifixion on that Friday, there had to be this overwhelming sense of grief and mourn and and sadness. That on Palm Sunday that we celebrated just a week ago, it's one of those more joyous Sundays in the life of the church. Children come in and they wave palm branches and we sing these songs, and there's this kind of great expectation of that day. And this is on that first Palm Sunday. Maybe this expectation and this excitement of like, all right, it's here. He is the one. He is the Messiah that we've been waiting for. He is our rightful king. And here he is, and there is this rejoicing on that Sunday, and then you kind of keep making your way through the week, which is one of the things that I love most about our church. We lean into Holy Week and we think about those events, and you get to Thursday night where Jesus is on the eve of his birth, and then you get to Good Friday, and then there is Holy Saturday. And you may have been busy with a million things yesterday. Our family was. You were probably, if you have children, you were at some sporting event. Perhaps for longer than you wanted to be there. There's busyness, perhaps. Or maybe you were getting ready for celebrations today. Maybe you went to the grocery store. I imagine it looked like a snowstorm coming today at the grocery store yesterday, right? Maybe you were busy making preparations, but as it relates to our faith, Saturday is kind of a quiet day where we just sit and we wait for the resurrection. So those first disciples of Jesus, I think they were sleepless on those nights before the resurrection happened. Their hopes had been dashed, that all the things that Jesus perhaps were not. And resurrection was so outside their understanding of reality that they really couldn't wrap their minds around what Jesus had said when he said, I'm going to be raised on the third day. When you read the gospel accounts, you see them, the disciples kind of, they're trying to wrap their minds around what in the world is Jesus talking about. Jesus would say, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day I'm going to rise. The gospel accounts where you see the disciples kind of to the side and they're like, what is he talking about? Right? We don't understand what, we believe in a resurrection perhaps on the last day at the end of all things, but this resurrection 3 days after he dies, we have no category for this. And so whereas you and I, maybe we went to bed on Saturday night with this great expectation that we're going to go to church and rejoice and celebrate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they woke up likely just as confused and just as sad and just as upset and just as uncertain as they had been since Good Friday. And in that spirit, they make their way to the tomb. And there's an obstacle. Even as they're thinking about going to the tomb, there is this really large stone there that they don't, not sure how they're going to roll it out of the way to begin with, but they're just going. And then maybe they wanted to be close to, maybe they're ready to prepare his body for final burial. But they find themselves going to the tomb, and when they get there, this crazy series of events happens. And you and I read it, and we can't fully wrap our hearts and minds around it like it would have been for them. Like even as I read it, I couldn't read it with enough emotion, probably, and emphasis of what happened. They find themselves back to find the stone there. And what does Matthew say happens? There was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. And he was a frightening person. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so terrified at this heavenly being that they almost became like dead men. Words are, you know, not comical, but almost in light of what's happening. Don't be afraid. Or I'm guessing they were kind of like, oh, sure. Sure, don't be afraid. Of course we're terrified. And he brings this message, and the reason that they're not supposed to be afraid is that he knows that they're looking for Jesus who's been crucified. That they're there to find Jesus' body. And the angel has this message, he is not here, he has risen. Come and see the place where he lay. And the gospel writers in the book of Acts helps us understand that Jesus, after he raised from the dead, because this was so outside their understanding or expectations, that Jesus would appear to his disciples in the days following his resurrection. He wanted them to see and feel and touch that he was bodily resurrected from the dead, and this followers of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus is not a figment of their imagination. Jesus was not an angel. He was not some apparition of who Jesus was, but Jesus, he was raised from the dead with a physical body like ours. He still had the scars on his hands. And Paul would say that's an important point for us to emphasize as we're talking about resurrection body. Jesus has not been raised, and you and I are still dead in our sins, and you should have done something besides come to church today. But because the resurrection is true, everything now is changed in light of who Jesus is. And so they are supposed to go and to share this message with Jesus' brothers, his disciples. And they go with these two emotions, Matthew says. They go with fear, and they go with great joy. They're still processing and putting together all of these things that they've seen and they've heard. Again, remember, we have thousands of years of church history and reflection on what happened, but they're in real time. And they've experienced this message that Jesus is risen, and so then they go. They hurry away, and suddenly, who do they run into? I was so hopeful that the 11 o'clock crowd. You know, this is the fourth quarter. I was so hoping just one of you was going to be like, Jesus! They didn't either. And they run into Jesus himself. And in what has to be, again, if I could rewind kind of time, if you're like, Wayne, you can go back into history and like see something. This would be like in my top five picks. To see these women run into the resurrected Jesus for the first time. And they don't really know what to do. And so they just fall down and they worship him. Right? Just get up and go and tell my brothers that I will see them in Galilee, and do not be what? Don't be afraid. And so they went, and they did as Jesus said. And you and I are in this sanctuary largely because of the faithfulness of their witness. Like sometimes we don't comprehend the fact that you and I are only in a church celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ today because those first men and women who saw and encountered him, they took the message, oftentimes at great cost to themselves, oftentimes laying down their lives in service of others, hearing about the good news of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And it is, kind of as a sidebar, the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I can really find no other explanation in my mind or heart for why you and I in Birmingham, Alabama would be here today. They knew what death was like. They had seen it. They had encountered it. And once they saw and experienced the resurrected Jesus Christ 3 days after his death, they couldn't go back to just life as it was before. They couldn't just go back to their lives or their jobs. After they had seen life-changing, life-altering experience in Jesus. And I share this message with you of resurrection hope, hopefully as a faithful pastor. I mentioned to the other services that next to the people that I share blood with, the people of Mount Root Baptist Church are the people kind of second that I care the most. And having been here for a good while, this year, 17 years this summer, the Lord's allowed me to know each of you fairly well. And so when you walk into the sanctuary on Easter Sunday, you're not just a bunch of faces to me. But some of you, I know some of the hardships that you have in this room today. I know some of the things that you've walked through, and I know some of the things that you are currently walking through. And I know that some of you, even now, you're in the midst of sleepless nights. Or in the days ahead, if Jesus doesn't come back first, all of us are going to experience the sting of sin and death in our lives. So this morning for me is not kind of a Easter Hallmark moment. This is not just, let's get together in the sanctuary once a year and let's kind of drum up some excitement about resurrection, right? It's not some empty day where we just get here in this sanctuary and we get enough kind of hope and joy to carry us through until we come back around to next Easter Sunday. It's not just a Sunday to dress we're going to look all year, right? But it's to gather as real people who are walking through a fallen world, who experience all the things that we experience in this fallen world, and to proclaim to each other in faith that death will not have the final word for us. That Jesus Christ did humble himself and come into the world and take on flesh. He was perfect in every way. He loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved his neighbor even as he loved himself. And he bore our sins on the cross on Calvary. And through faith in him, you and I are declared perfectly righteous in his sight. And one day, the same Jesus who rose from the dead, the same Jesus who reigns even now at the right, he's coming back. Do you ever drive around or walk around and just kind of ask yourself, like, is this the day? I mean, have you ever, like, look up at the sky and you're like, Lord, if it's okay with you, I would choose today. Right? And lean into that hope that what Jesus one day will be brought to fulfillment and fruition here when Jesus returns. And that's not pie in the sky dreaming for us. That is, as people of faith, the foundation from which we live our lives. And we encourage each other. We walk alongside each other. In the darkest days that we might experience in this life and in the most sleepless nights, we proclaim the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We mourn and we grieve and have hope. There's a service coming one day that it won't be in the sanctuary at Mount Brook Baptist Church. As beautiful and as lovely as this place is. And everybody who is in Christ will be there. We'll be raised with bodies immortal and perishable heavens and the new earth. And on that day, we are going to sing, I hope, I can't verify this apart from 1 Corinthians 15. But I think what Paul says is we're going to sing that song, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Right? That once and for all, our faith is the fulfillment of all that we've longed for between this day and that day. And so we rejoice on Easter Sunday, and we're not rejoicing and making stuff up. We're not denying the hardships that we'll walk through even as we walk out of the sanctuary, but risen from the dead, and one day he will return. So the application of the sermon today, the thing I want you to do as your pastor is I want you to go, and I want you to go party. You're like, pastor told us to party. I think Christmas gets too much. It's important. I'm a Christmas guy. But on Easter Sunday, if we're not careful, we just kind of, we go to church, we eat lunch, and then that's kind of, rejoice in the reality and the truth that death and the grave have been overcome. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, one day imperishable, always to be with him. And as you rejoice and as you party and as you eat all the things that you want to eat, ask the Lord to help you say, this is just a foretaste. As good as this is, it's just a picture of what we'll experience when we join the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth. So pray for you and for me that the reality of the resurrection, the good news of Jesus, sink deeply into our souls that we might experience the life that he would have for us to know. I invite you to pray with me. Father, and I thank you for your love. We thank you for the reality of Jesus and his resurrection. And we pray that you would fill our hearts with hope. That you would give us peace that passes. One day Jesus will return. One day we will be raised with bodies that are immortal and perishable. One day we will be with you in a new heavens and a new earth where former things of this fallen world will be no more. Encourage our hearts and use us to be heralds of this good news. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.